Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Zane Jaffer with us. Zane is a serial entrepreneur who sold his last startup for $780 million to Blackstone in 2019. He is currently the partner at Bluefield Capital, where he buys real estate and invests in prop tech. I am super excited to have Zane on here because he has such a breadth of experience. So Zane, thank you very much for hopping on.
Really excited to be on your show. Thank you.
Absolutely. I told you before we got on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear kind of how people got from point A to point B. Sounds like you got a great one. So why don't you take us to the beginning? How'd you get started in real estate?
You know, after running my own company, and that's a startup, by the way, which usually means you're not taking a salary for many years. Yep. It was terrifying to see. One day you think you're going to take over the world, and next day you're worried, you know, you're going to lose your investors' money. And it's a private company. There's no liquidity, right? And I just remember having friends and people in real estate, and I didn't think they were particularly intelligent. It feels like half the people in real estate are idiots. So that's why it's so easy for the other half to make money. You know, these guys were just buying stuff using insane amounts of leverage. And even with all the mistakes they made, they'd be getting cash flow, they'd be getting appreciation, 1031 exchanges. And here I am, you know, lying to my office landlord that I can't, you know, pay the rent and, you know, asking for concessions. And here are these folks who are actually swimming in cash, and cash is king, you know? Yep. So I thought to myself, okay, one day when I sell my company, I want that. I want to have real estate. I just want to go to sleep knowing money's being made and it's safe and secure. And that's what I did. I decided through my family office to start buying real estate. I did a lot of stuff. I did hard money lending, bought single family rentals, invested in a bunch of projects as well as an LP and a JV partner, and then started buying buildings myself and eventually joined Bluefield Capital, which is a private equity real estate fund, you know, a couple of billion dollars worth of real estate in the portfolio across multiple asset classes. So yeah, that's how I got here.
Perfect, man. I love it. And what was your original startup? What was it focused on? It was not in the real estate space, correct?
No, it was focused on showing advertisements on mobile applications, so phones.
Nice. So completely different. I love it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's great. You know, you were in your business. I know with startups, I've never done a specific startup myself, but I've heard it's just, you know, stressful. You got months where you got a lot of money coming in, months when you got negative money coming in or going out. And so you were in that space, you saw that your friends in real estate, and you realized, damn, they're getting the cash flow. What the hell is going on? So once you decided to jump, you know, you sold, probably you jumped a little bit before you sold to Blackstone. What was your first step? Like, what did you decide? Did you buy like a single family? Did you just go right into hard money? What was your first foray into real estate?
So I was sitting on a lot of cash. And this acquisition happened sort of around the time when, just before COVID struck. Hmm. And I felt the markets were overheated and I didn't want to deploy too much into the markets. And I legged my way into the markets, but I also had a lot of cash that I had to pay taxes on eventually. So I had, you know, a bunch of time before I paid the taxes. And then when COVID hit, the government said we're delaying taxes for another year. I was like, okay, wow, I've got another year to basically arbitrage. So hard money lending was the focus, basically. I, you know, found a bunch of sponsors and I negotiated rates, and, you know, I'd be, did two things. I'd be lending out my tax money, making it very clear this needs to be paid back. You know, sponsors have a way of saying things are getting delayed. I'm like, I don't care. I got to pay my tax bill.
There's somebody bigger above me that's going
to
be.
Right. But then when I started to see, hold on a second, I'm in the wrong part of the capital stack here. These folks are taking my hard money and paying me a fairly good interest rate, and it's secured for me. But wait, they're making crazy returns on this, and they're using, you know, leverage, and they're cashing me out. I don't want to be cashed out. I want to keep the cash in there for a while, right? I should have taken the equity stack. So I was like, I want to understand how this works. I started actually listening to podcasts. I started meeting folks And just started asking, who are the good sponsors I should invest with? And it started out by just being an LP. And I was really upset. I was like, wait, these guys are charging acquisition fees, management fees, and they're taking a promote. This looks easy. I should do this myself. How wrong I was. I just started buying things. You know, I thought, let me study the market for like 90 days, learn every single transaction that's happening. And I started doing single family rentals. And then I thought to myself, this isn't scale. And I'm getting kind of bored dealing with, you know, tenants complaining about the plumbing issues or, you know, whatever. So decided, let me go to Texas and let me start buying real estate. So that's sort of what the plan was there. And that's when I realized when COVID hit, I bought a lot of workforce housing, you know, with another partner at the time. And I was obsessed with trying to get the best deal possible. Price per square foot and metrics like that are not the metrics you want to focus on in real estate. You know, going in cap rate, what a rubbish metric, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, ARV is what it's about. So, you know, we bought a lot of distressed properties and they really suffered through COVID because people weren't paying their rents. We had delinquency issues. We had that partner wasn't very honest with me about the situation and the level of deferred maintenance. And, you know, anyway, that's when I decided, okay, I need to join a bigger platform and learn from the pros. And that's why I joined a private equity firm. And that platform is an amazing advantage because, you know, they've got institutional relationships with the whole stack, right? Great property managers, great construction firms, great brokers, and also sellers direct. And so, yeah, COVID was a blast. Through Bluefield, we just started buying a lot of assets. I wish we bought more. Now it feels like with mortgage rates rising, it's the time to buy. But at the same time, you know, our cash flow projections are getting crushed because mortgage rates have risen so much. But yeah, that's where we are now.
I love it. And I'm always of the opinion that it's always the time to buy because it depends on what you find. You know, it's all in the numbers of the deal that you find. And it doesn't matter if the interest rates are 50%. If you find something that actually makes sense on paper, it's a deal. But I thought it was funny. You said you were looking at around the 2019, 2020 mark and you thought the markets were overheated. What do you think about the markets now?
Well, we bought a couple of things and frankly, you know, when markets froze, it was hard to get financing closed because banks were sort of stepping back on the lending and deals were getting delayed. Having cash was a very powerful thing because you could get, you know, you can get concessions from sellers at the point, right? And we definitely got some pretty good deals. But then everyone started pouring in as the Fed started to print all this money, as stock markets and every market, technology, everything, crypto was reaching all-time highs. People were flooding into real estate. And I didn't understand. We wrote 100 straight offers last year that were rejected. Oof. We're talking like literally billions of dollars worth of offers we made, right?
Yep.
And not a single one was accepted. We bought maybe 3 assets last year and our plan was to buy like 20, you know?
Yeah.
And we tried everything. We went to tertiary markets. We thought we were smart. Okay, here's hotels. We can convert them to multifamily. Nope, cats out the bag. Everyone's doing that, you know? Where I did think we found a niche was in build-to-rent townhomes. That was sort of like, okay, labor costs are sort of moving now. It's actually cheaper to maybe buy, you know, rather than to actually build. And so we started doing some of the construction and you know, it was a lot of frustration last year. Now, wow, I can put a number out there. I think I've seen 10 to 15% reduction in valuations.
There have been so many emails that have come into my inbox from brokers who say price reduction, price reduction, price reduction. It's just, I feel like the market is kind of, you know, hit that top point and now it's starting to recede a little bit and kind of find a little bit more stabilized of a position.
And look, I'm on the seller side too, you know, also on the buyer side, but the seller side, but it's becoming a buyer's market. As a seller, I am taking lower offers when there's hard money involved, when there's certainty of close. Before it was okay to take the highest bidder and it would be some syndication group that made some outrageous assumptions when they bid on the project, you know, like, okay, interest rates will stay low forever and rent growth will continue at this pace and cap rates will compress. Every single one of those things is now, except rent growth, every single one of those is not true anymore, right? Yeah. And now it's like, you know, we'll take a materially lower offer if there's certainty of close and there's, you know, assurances that the deal can get done.
Yep. Yeah. And that does matter on the seller side. It matters more than you know, if you haven't gone through your first sale, it matters a lot because people will make offers without having the ability to actually close. And that can be frustrating. That is for sure. So, all right. So you went into real estate. Now you guys are focused on multifamily. It sounds like that's pretty much the asset that you've nailed down along with some townhomes. Is there any other commercial? You're totally up to single family.
Yeah. So hospitality, we're very bullish on hospitality, and we've been trying to buy. We just closed a hotel recently in Dayton, Ohio, a Marriott. And we're looking at more hotels. We've been trying to buy warehouses. We have a lot of industrial.
Oh, nice.
Warehouses have been tough. That's been the asset class everyone wants to be part of. We've been trying to consider how to buy portfolios of single family rentals, but everyone's trying to do that now. It's kind of frustrating. You know, it's becoming institutionalized as an asset class. So I would say multifamily is a bread and butter. Hospitality, we're keen on. Senior care, we're sort of a little bit negative on. It hasn't recovered very well. Mm. And when I say hospitality, I actually... I think leisure hospitality is doing really well. Business hospitality is a little bit tougher in markets where you're dependent on people going back to the office. But in other markets, you know, where there's sound employment diversity, it can work well, you know. And we've gone after more of the, you know, the Hilton Garden Inn style type of product rather than the St. Regis type of product, you know.
Marriott, yep. I love it. So, I mean, that's great. It sounds like you have kind of found your footing. Now that you joined this new group, you have all these connections, which, man, I'm sure that makes a huge difference. I know you're also on the prop tech side, which is something that's I'm super interested in, just, you know, cause I'm kind of an operations geek. So why don't you take us to that side of your, you know, of your entrepreneurship. What type of prop tech do you invest in? Where do you see the space going? Just tell me a little bit about the prop tech side.
So going into a traditional private equity real estate fund where everyone does the same stuff, you know, you're sourcing deals, you're pounding the phones, you're writing offers and you're putting spreadsheets together. I just looked at this and I thought, this is a mess. Why is there no technology? And I started to think, okay, if we can bring in technology, A, as a firm, we can be more efficient. But B, what if we can bring the technology to the asset level as well? What if you can bring in IoT devices that will make your hotel run more efficiently? What if you, you know, digitize the way you collect rent? You'll cut your costs there. So yeah, you know, we set up a venture capital fund, and we've been investing in prop tech, which means real estate technology, things that make real estate more efficient.
Is there any specific technology that you've seen that you feel is not going to revolutionize real estate? Because I don't really feel like you can revolutionize real estate, but that will kind of move the needle in terms of increasing efficiencies, operational efficiencies, anything like that?
I've seen both. I've seen incremental innovation and I've seen disruptive innovation. Incremental means, you know, having 10, 20% productivity, you're automating the workflow of a property manager, or you are making a broker more efficient, or you're finding a way to, you know, like one of our companies, Stay Flexi, they do something so obvious to you and me, but hotels don't run this way, where, you know, you have to check in at a certain time, where you can charge more if you want to check in early. If there's more inventory available, you can dynamically price the inventory. So that little thing there can really result in huge improvements, right? Yep. Even on the hospitality side, contactless check-in technologies and really getting a mobile app experience moving on, right? That's key. On multifamily side, I'd say same thing. For a while, people couldn't tour buildings, and so you can't lease. Mm. Well, what if you could have virtual 3D tours? What if you could have a smart lock on every building that you can then come in and do a self-guided tour? So technologies like that have been, you know, really powerful and just makes sense. Some buildings, you don't even need a leasing office anymore. You don't need a big leasing team. You can put it offshore. One of our investments is Poplar Homes. And what they do is fascinating. It's sort of a case study here, right? They are a tech-first company, and they've basically automated every part of the property management experience. There is a chatbot that can talk to the tenant. There's an offshore, you know, call center. There are smart locks. The whole thing is virtual. They're operating so efficiently at very high gross margins. They decided, you know what? why don't we go raise some debt funding and start buying traditional mom and pop property management firms? They've now bought over 10 different property management firms. They're doing a roll up. I mean, this is exciting. You know, they're buying traditional property management firms where the mom and pop property management owners are sort of tired of managing, you know, all these single assets. And they've come in and they've brought on the tech stack. So that's an example. Now, on the disruptive side, we're getting really like into the, you know, far out crazy stuff here, but blockchain and the advent of cryptocurrency can really revolutionize real estate and disrupt it.
Smart contracts.
Yes. Smart contracts. Particularly, I'm a big, big proponent of the securitization of real estate through, you know, tokenized real estate, where you take real estate, you take the underlying membership interest. You know, when you're raising funding for a real estate project, right, you're essentially putting those membership interests in an LLC, and each unit you're selling a share in.
Yep.
So, you know, you might have a $50,000 minimum, and that'll give you a certain number of units. Instead, you can have a token representing that unit, and now that token can be traded on the blockchain. Yep. That's revolutionary.
Sense to me, for sure.
You know, you could fractionalize that into thousands of pieces and you can have tokens trading for $50. You could also instantly buy and sell in theory. I mean, in practice, there's a lot of regulation and technology that still needs to be built. But that tokenization of real estate, security tokens, that's going to disrupt real estate completely. You tell me, how can there not be a future 10, 20, 5 years from now, whatever, where real estate isn't traded like stocks?
Yep.
I know many of your listeners are going to say, but the beauty of real estate is that you hold it forever. And I like real estate because I'm stuck in it and I don't make stupid decisions. Sure, but you should do the same with stocks, right? But why is it there's such a liquid market for stocks? The same should happen for real estate, despite our philosophical opinions about, you know, hold on forever. Like, some people want to trade in and out, and that should be a right, not a bug as it is right now.
No, I love that. I've actually put quite a bit, well, not quite a bit, a little bit of money into prop techs that I thought were going some places. And then in the previous, you know, 2-3 months, they've gone to virtually zero. But hey, crypto's coming back up.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So I just checked the clock. It looks like we have passed the 15-minute mark. So I do have to push us into the quick question round. So thank you for sharing what you have shared with us so far. Are you ready for the quick questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Starts with education. I'm a big bookie. You can give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom, one for real estate specific. It does not have to be books. If you like podcasts, YouTube channels, whatever it is, give me two recommendations.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm a big bookworm. I read so much. Let me think of a few. I would say, to get a sense of how the technology industry is running, how crazy it is, Blitzscaling is a scary book to read. It's about raising as much money as you can and spending it at a crazy rate just to, you know, grow outrageously fast.
I love it. Blitzscaling.
Scary reading. General life type of stuff. I think a book I read when I was young was called Mastery by George Leonard. And what that book talks about is, and I think it's George Leonard, right? It talks about the fact that we live in a society where we want to get rich quick, we want to lose weight fast, and true progress happens on the plateau, and it happens over the long term. And that is a series of up and down, but the trend line is upwards. And it talks about how we as a society, we are addicted to the quick adrenaline of quick learning and quick learning curves, and then we jump. And to be a master in any area, whether it's sports, your health, or your relationship, or your company or business, just stick at it day in, day out, optimize, and eventually you will be a master.
Perfect, man. I love that. Mastery. That's a different mastery that I know. I read one by Robert.
Yeah, it's not that one.
Yep. But either both of those books, I'm sure they have the same content. I love that kind of message.
Hey, all self-development books have the same content, you know.
Yep. But it's good to, you know, get a different person's voice in there, kind of drum it into your head. I like that you mentioned kind of going through the plateau, because that is the part that, you know, once you're in it, you don't really, you don't see the next step, but it is there. You just got to keep pushing. So. Love that mastery.
By the way, so it is by George Leonard. It's Mastery, the Keys to Success and Long-Term Fulfillment, as personal development-y as a title as you can get.
Yep. I love it. Mastery by George Leonard, and then Blitzscaling. That one sounds interesting too. Moving on, going to the next question. This one is for your younger self. So if you could go to the Zane, who, let's say he was just thinking about jumping in there jumping into business. He had no business experience yet. Go to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Oh, well, I did do that. I started a company with, you know, my first thing at 14 even. I would have said, dude, chill out. Like, I know there's a sense of urgency, but you're going to burn out if you keep going the way you are. Focus on things that matter, because years will pass, like family or health and everything. So next time around, when I do my next company, I'm looking to do more of a balanced approach. So it's not just advice to my past self. This is advice to my future self now.
Chill out. That is great advice. And it's something that I can also take. Because you're right. It goes by quick, and you don't need to press yourself that hard. Which brings us to the next question. And this one is for United States is a big place, means there's lots of square miles out there to buy property. What is one metro that is not in your backyard that you are most excited about?
Oh my God, there's so many tertiary markets, right? And I don't want to sort of reveal our secrets when we're buying. What I tend to find in real estate is that just pick a damn market. When you do your analysis and research, don't read these stupid like posts that come out, here are the top 10 metros, right? Find somewhere we can get to driving distance or on a plane, look at the fundamentals behind it. And so a case study here would probably be Montana, I think in Billings, right? Mm. Okay. Over there, we bought, you know, a couple of properties. And then you start to develop a reputation in town. You start to, you know, find sellers who are interested in selling, and they trust you. And you're the only institutional buyer there. When everyone else is mom and pop buying, you know, a couple of $1 million, you're writing 10, 15, $20 million offers. Any market like that is where you want to go. Don't go to the market everyone's saying this is a hot market, because by the time that's published, it's too late. You want to go somewhere where, you know, the fundamentals are there, but the competition isn't there. Yep. So by virtue, it's going to be places you haven't heard of, you know, but you do your research. It has to be solid fundamentals underpinning it. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. You know? And it is funny, once you get into a market, how many more deals come your way from that market just by owning something there.
I'll give you one example. I own something. I did pretty well in the south of Texas. So this is personally, not through Bluefield. Edinburgh, McAllen, and thank God for Elon Musk going to the Brownsville area and doing SpaceX. That's created heat in that area, right?
Oh, yeah.
That area has been exploding in terms of, you know, rent growth appreciation. But there are buyers there. There's a buyer I know. I'm not going to reveal their identity because we're under contract with them. But, you know, they're based in a very large, you know, tier one location, not in Texas, right? And I asked them, like, you guys own like 40 assets in the south of Texas. Why? You know what? When we were starting out, we bought one thing, and then we were like, oh, okay, why don't we buy another thing? Oh, there's economies of scale here. Let's buy three. Let's buy four. Before you know it, they're there. And they're going to keep buying there because they know everything about that area.
Yep.
McAllen and Edinburgh and these areas south of Texas were not hot areas like, you know, when these guys started. But they just picked an area. They made money and they just repeated it. And you build sector expertise and you build asset expertise, and ideally do both at the same time. Find a sector, find an asset class, and be the king of that zip code or that town, and you will definitely win.
Perfect. That is great advice for any area you are in real estate. If you're in single family or commercial, doesn't matter. I feel like that's a very, very good advice. And that moves us to the next question. We are all gifted with skills, specific skills that we alone can gift to this earth. So what is it that is your Superman strength? What is it you're specifically good at?
Oh, man. Is kryptonite the word also, or it's a weakness?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I have not done well in real estate because I have a sense of urgency. I want it done now. I'm the guy annoying my attorneys. Pick up the phone and call the seller's attorney. Get this done now, right? And in real estate, nothing ever is really urgent unless there's a pipe leaking. And, God, I'm having a heart attack thinking about that, right? Because that happens. Yep. So my sense of urgency, very proactive. I can't go to sleep until something's done. And I think that works well in a startup. It can destroy a company as it grows, which is something I had to sort of learn to rein in and be patient. But in real estate, oh, that's a tough one. Sometimes urgency helps. Other times, you're going to annoy everyone around you.
Yep, for sure. I feel like it does specifically help in real estate just because they're, you know, it's deal based, you know, with your, when you're doing a startup, it's one company that you're trying to build. Real estate is, it's deal based, and you gotta move fast.
Well, Gabe, right? Time kills deals. Momentum is key, and you need to be driving it. And you need a team around you, whether it's attorneys or brokers or property managers, who share that sense of urgency. I do not like hearing surprises way after the fact.
Yep.
You know, oh, we need this CapEx. Like, what the hell? You should have told me the moment you realized that. You shouldn't have waited for me to come visit you. Give me this dog and pony show of how great things are. And then, you know, oh, by the way, we need like $500,000 for the roof. Why are we here every quarter? Why didn't you tell me the roof was leaking like three quarters ago? So this is something that irritates me, but it's a strength in real estate to carry, you know, and to be proactive and urgent.
Absolutely. And that moves us to our very last question. And this one is for the listeners. You've given us a lot of good advice. So I'm sure people out there want to reach out and say hi. What is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can reach me on zane@proptechvc.com. Proptechvc.com, and that's Zane, spot like the rain, but with a Z, Z-A-I-N.
zane@proptechvc.com, and that is also just proptechvc.com is the URL. I'll put that in the show notes. If y'all want to reach out to Zane and say hi, just click a little more in the description. It'll pop down the full description, and there you can find Zane. So again, Zane, thank you very much for hopping on the podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. If you have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at realestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can go home with and apply to your own investing business. Before you go, I have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to take your business to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on the website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find a deal that's actually a deal, how to finance that deal with little to no money down, and how to exit a deal for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I'm going to bury you in bonuses, seven of them to be exact. First, you'll get the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating real wealth in real estate. Then you'll get the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools and systems and even the vendors we use to grow our business. After that, you will get the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we use to target leads online and generate leads without having to lift a finger. Next, you'll get the contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all of the contracts we use in the field to execute all types of transactions. After that, you'll get the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. Next up, we'll give you the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And finally, you will get the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. I know that is a ton of things to say. I'm glad you were able to stick with it. So you'll get both the ebook and all of those seven free bonuses when you download the ebook today. All we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you are interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page and take advantage of that deal. With that housekeeping item covered, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.